Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
He's Danny, I'm Grant, you're listening to The Fan, all over D.C., 106.7, all over Richmond, 105.1 FM, 910 AM. Take us with you via the Odyssey app, used to be radio.com. You can hit pause, you can rewind, listen back to the show for 24 hours, pretty cool deal. Right now, it is time for the Beltway Blitz, so why don't we get it started? We'll start with Samantha Pell of the Washington Post on the Caps. We got the Nationals playing tonight. We'll get to them in a minute. And the Wizards in action as well. We'll get to them with Wes Hall. But the Caps take center stage. Tom Wilson, Samantha, is just laying devastation to the Rangers organization. They've blown out their team president, their GM, after their ridiculous statement about him. Artemi Panarin, unfortunately, is out for the year. Give us the latest.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's absolutely right. It just seems like Tom Wilson's kind of in the middle of everything right now in the NHL. It really honestly seems like the Capitals have been on kind of their whirlwind of their own the last 3 days. Obviously, we can talk about Tom Wilson and talk about Kuznetsov and Samsonov still being unavailable tonight. TJ Oshie's back in the lineup tonight. Just a lot of things happening. No Alex Ovechkin. A lot of things happening here at Madison Square Garden today.
Sam, are you going to have to fight tonight? I think everybody that's up there is going to have to fight. Like, what is going on? What do you expect, honestly, out of this one? Are they going to do it right at the beginning? Or are you going to try to score a couple goals first? Like, how is this going to go down?
I definitely think, you know, that's kind of the biggest question going into it. You know, the Rangers kind of speculated yesterday that they might be bringing up their AHL kind of enforcer guy into the lineup. That's the big thing with the Rangers. They really don't have a guy like a Tom Wilson or a Brendan Dillon or a Garnet Hathaway. So maybe, you know, they kind of start fireworks early here. I would expect something to happen early. I think emotions are running high on both sides. And obviously the Capitals want to go out and make sure they keep their emotions in check. But, you know, this is hockey and, you know, anything can happen.
What's going on with Evgeny Kuznetsov and Ilya Samsonov?
So both guys were out Monday for disciplinary reasons. They were late to a team function, so the team decided they were going to be out. This is continuing into today, except yesterday Kuznetsov was placed on the COVID-19 list, so he definitely is out after being on the list. We obviously don't know details there. Players can end up on the list for multiple reasons. He was already on it this season. He admitted, you know, he did have the coronavirus. He had symptoms, so we're not exactly sure why he's back on the list again, but that can include contact tracing, protocols, a lot of different things there.
I'm still, at the end of, when all this dust settles and hockey happens, win, lose, or draw, et cetera, I'm still terrified of the Penguins. I know that the Caps are a bit shorthanded, but I think that's kind of their kryptonite, if there is such a thing. Didn't handle the Penguins well at all this year. Give me your thoughts on that as a potential playoff matchup.
Yeah, I think the Penguins as a first-round matchup would be super interesting. You're right. I mean, the Penguins are always going to be the Penguins to the Capitals. That's always going to be a really fierce rivalry. Obviously, we've seen the Capitals struggle with, you know, teams like the Islanders and Boston before, but the Penguins, I think, are always going to be there matchup-wise, and it is going to be a hard matchup if they do go up against them. But just the way everything's shaking out, I mean, we still don't even know the playoff matchups. Things are so tight in the East right now that things are basically changing every single night.
Sam, we appreciate it. Tonight should be crazy. We don't know what to expect. What about you? Over, under on fights. What are you setting it at?
I mean, if I have to fight, then I guess I have to fight. But no, I have no clue what the over-under is going to be. I would at least expect 2 tonight.
Appreciate you. Thank you. There's Sam Pell, thanks, Washington Post. Great job covering the Capitals. All right, let's move along on the Blitz. Talk baseball. Maria Torres covers the Nats, and they've been fun lately. 4 wins in a row before last night, and their offense just not able to get anything going against the Braves. What went wrong last night, Maria?
I think it was just that one pitch to Enoa. I think that was the main thing that went wrong. Without that, I mean, it was a close game, and anything could have happened if you're, you know, trailing 2-0. But, you know, once you're down by 6, it's kind of hard to come back from that.
That game last night kind of is everything that they are right now sort of on display. If a bunch of things break their way, they could sort of scrap together a W and find a way to be around 500. But last night they just looked like they were outclassed, you know, where Acuna hit a homer on a pitch that was almost a foot outside. And you just kind of go, that Braves team as constructed last night is just a lot better than that Nats group that trotted out there. Mm-hmm. I actually say that in a complimentary sense. It's amazing the Nats are where they are.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. This first month has been tough for everybody in the NL East. And honestly, I anticipate the NL East to continue to be very much continue to have parity across the division, just because all these teams, at least the top tier of the teams, are like constructed in a way that they're just all going to beat up on each other. You know, like you said, though, the Nationals maybe have a little bit of more areas of concern than the Braves might have. But you know, I will say, to the Nationals' credit, I mean, they came out of April looking pretty good. And the thing that was working really well for them, honestly, is the starting pitching turned around all of a sudden. It was so bad for like the first couple of weeks. And then you get Fetty kind of going on a run. You get Joe Ross doing really well, minus that one start. Scherzer, of course, had that one start too, but like, it's Scherzer. You know he's going to come back and be better. And obviously he did, throwing a complete game Sunday. And you have everybody else contributing to the rotation and the return of Lester. All that's left now is for Steven Strasburg to come back. And the bullpen hasn't been too bad. Outside of Ring, he's obviously struggled. But, I mean, generally speaking, it could be way worse.
Maria Torres covers the Nationals for The Athletic. Listening to the Beltway Blitz on Grant and Danny. In 15 minutes, we'll have couple members of the Washington football team draft class on, so make sure you're tuned in at that time. Maria, what's going on with Steven Strasburg? What's the latest?
So Strasburg, he's still working his way back from that right shoulder inflammation. However, he will be throwing in a simulated game tomorrow at Nationals Park before the series finale with the Braves. So that's really great news to get him throwing, even if it's just a simulated game. The fact that he's going to be facing live hitters is obviously really important in his progression. I'd anticipate that he's only going to be throwing up to about 40 pitches or so tomorrow, you know, before he's ready to start in a game at the major league level. He's definitely going to need to be built up to at least 80. So I would expect maybe a week or two left for him. But, I mean, things continue to turn in the right direction. It could be sooner than later.
Maria, I'm kind of looking at my watch here, and I'm like, we're more than a year and a half into this Victor Robles not hitting at all thing, and I know all the offseason stories about the revamped swing and this, that, and the other. He looks lost and terrible at the plate. I guess he's walking a bit more, which is nice, but still, you throw him a breaking ball, he's probably going to swing and miss at it. That's sort of where we are at this stage. Is he going to figure it out?
I mean, you have to believe that he will, right? I don't know really what else to say. I mean, like, the Nationals don't really have a center field backup plan right now. So he's going to be given a chance to figure things out. And really what they're encouraged about, like you already mentioned, is that walk rate. That shows you that, you know, his recognition is a lot better, that his selection is a lot better. And I think you will see more from him the more he becomes comfortable with his new approach, and just, you know, widening out a little bit more at 2 strikes like Soto does. That's helped him. The times that he has been behind in the count and put the bat on the ball, that stuff has helped him. So, you know, I say give it another month. I still think that, you know, 1 month, and I mean the 2-3 months of last year, I don't think that's enough to really say things are bad.
Maria, thank you. We appreciate it.
Thank you for having me on, guys.
Third team in action tonight looking for the DC trifecta is on the hardwood. And it is a big one for the Wizards. Wes Hall, pre and post tonight. NBC Sports Washington, 8 o'clock tip in Milwaukee against Giannis and the Bucks. Wes, preview it for us.
All right. First of all, happy Cinco de Mayo. Second of all, speaking of five being the day of the calendar, Wizards starting off a five-game road trip with the Bucks tonight. And Giannis, what we're looking for is simple. Russell Westbrook to continue to make history, climbing on the heels of Oscar Robertson. He's already got 178 triple-doubles. I think he can get 179 tonight. Bradley Beal, of course, trying to keep his scoring threat to Steph Curry. Who knows how the season is going to end? I don't. I want Brad to have it, but that's just me and my hometown bias on that. But it's going to be a good matchup because what it comes down to is, right now, in my opinion, the Wizards are the most dangerous team in the Eastern Conference.
Tough road trip, though. Yeah, sorry, Wes. I'm going to jump on you there. It tough road trip here, though. Starting in Milwaukee, who needs it, too. They're on the heels of Brooklyn, and they're a good club. No shame in maybe dropping this one. But looking ahead, Indiana's got maybe a little bit of an easier road down the stretch here. What are you expecting from this road trip? Toronto, Pacers again, and with a kind of a frisky Hawks team, a little double dip here next week. What are you anticipating?
Yeah, it's difficult because a lot of these teams, as you said, are still fighting for their own lives. I know Indiana's kind of mad about how we treated them the other night, so they're going to want some get back. Atlanta hasn't totally solidified what their position is in the East as well. So this is the time of the year. If the Wizards are going to show and prove with all the newfound attention they've got, this is the road trip that's going to give us the tail of the tape.
We are excited for it. What do you guys got on pregame tonight?
Oh, somebody's ridiculous bold prediction. I know we're also going to have Steve Kornacki on the show as well. I know he was made famous with his big board antics during the election coverage, so he's going to be joining the show tonight. I think we're going to have Kendrick Perkins on the show tonight. It's a stacked show, so be there. 7 o'clock on NBC Sports Washington. Definitely going to have a good time tonight.
Pretty cool, man. Thank you, Wes. We appreciate you.
Thanks, Wes.
That is your Beltway Blitz. Kornacki's been everywhere, by the way, and I'm all for him getting more gigs. I heard a funny zing, though. So I'm trying to think of who to give credit to. It might have been PFT Commenter. The Barstool Sports. I think it was him. Someone was saying that he gets treated like he's like a freak or something, like a circus freak.
Yeah.
Where they like bring him out and they're like,
bring out the Kornacki.
Look at this numbers guy. He's going to stand there and do the numbers thing. And it just made me laugh out loud because it's so true. It's like almost as if like some 11-year-old graduated college or something. It's like, where's the nerd in his khakis? Go stand by that board.
I don't like
the way he's like talked about and treated, but he is excellent at what he does, and I hope people respect that and don't just look at it as
the oddity. Yeah, right, the circus like freak. Bite the head off the chicken.
Bearded goat or something. Right. Like, it's so weird.
He stands like a surfer. I cannot see it. So he's got the pen. He's got like his whatever he's using, like his touchpad or his pen or his Sharpie, whatever, in one hand. And he kind of has this slightly hunched over stance, and he's doing this professor, and then the physics reaction is amazing. He's kind of waving his arms. It looks like he's surfing. If you watch the show tonight, watch for it. I'm telling you, you won't be able to unsee it. Steve Kornacki looks like he's surfing when he's facing us and not his board.
All right, we got a couple of the members of the Washington football team draft class coming on at 4:25, but we can squeeze in. A couple of people have been waiting to talk Aaron Rodgers. So Colin is in D.C. on G&D. Colin, you heard what Bill Barnwell of ESPN said it would take. 2 ones, 2 twos, Matt Ioannidis and Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Hey, guys, I love it, honestly. You guys have had a pretty busy day. I appreciate you covering everything. My point is that I think you can get some good value out of Aaron Rodgers if he's happy in an organization. I could see him playing until he's like 42. But I worry that he's already mentioned he wants to play in the West Coast. How much power does a superstar like that have on where he lands? And are you guys worried at all about him being unhappy and that affecting his production if he were to come here?
Well, I don't necessarily worry about him being unhappy if he were to come here. I worry about that he wouldn't want to come here. I don't know what kind of influence or power he'll have in the trading process. Mm. Is he just desperate to get out of Green Bay so much that he'll take a trade anywhere and sign somewhere else?
Or does he just want to go to Northern California?
Yeah, does he just want to handpick the 49ers? Looks like it's too late after the Trey Lance pick. He released, or he didn't, but someone close to him, his agent or somebody, released the list, which was, hey, there are three options that Aaron Rodgers will say yes to. Raiders, Broncos, 49ers. I think you can cross San Francisco off the list now. So basically it'd be the Raiders or the Broncos. So is it realistic that he would want to come here? No, but he's not a free agent. What kind of no trade incentives does he have? What kind of clauses in his contract give him the leverage to say, I'm not going there, Would he just play hardball and say, I would never re-sign with them, and then a team like Washington's not willing to part with everything they would have to because it's a rental at that point?
Because if we really believe that he's ready to exercise the R-word in retirement, then that what might be his recourse, right?
Supposedly, he told A.J. Hawk of the Pat McAfee Show that he has no plans on retiring.
Okay.
Supposedly. What about retiring or staying with the Packers? Then would you have plans on retiring?
Yeah, then what? Yeah. So I don't know. I mean,
for the record, I don't think he's coming here. Like, the call says, well, do you worry about... Yeah, I don't think it's happening.
I'd like to have that problem.
My point is, this is an actual trade. The first time I've heard a package brought up by someone in the media who talks to people around the league regularly. One of Bill Barnwell's main gigs, you know, one of the things he's really good at is coming up with trade packages for players. It's kind of one of the gimmicks that he's kind of got. And he came up with this. Two ones, two twos, Ioannidis, Ryan Fitzpatrick. And to that I say, where do I sign? How quickly can I do it?
Yeah, the way I phrased this when it first came up that he was disgruntled, before we knew really the extent of it, is I said, and I still believe this, it would be irresponsible of a team like Washington to lose the bidding. If he doesn't come here, it cannot be because you didn't offer enough. There is very little on our roster or in our cadre of picks in the future that is not appropriate to trade for Aaron Rodgers. If another team, for the sake of argument, is in the bidding too, you beat that bid. You beat their bid. And if he doesn't come here, it's because he didn't want to. And that's his prerogative and that's his right. But it can't be because I don't want to include fill-in-the-blank player. None of it's important enough to prevent me from getting Aaron Rodgers.
Washington drafted 10 players in their class this week. Two of them scheduled to join us next right here on Grant and Danny. And John Carlson of the Capitals ahead of their much-anticipated showdown that could turn into a boxing match against the Rangers coming up at 4:40 or so today. You're listening to The Fan. Danny on The Fan. John Carlson's on the show in a little under 15 minutes. Looking forward to catching up with him ahead of tonight's big game with the Rangers. Washington drafted 10 players. A couple of them are going to hop on with us in these next few minutes. We're expected to be joined by Derek Forrest, the safety they took out of Cincinnati, as well as William Bradley King, the defensive end at a Baylor that they grabbed in the 7th round. Deep class. They continue to address needs. I'm still not feeling like they are set at defensive end, but these are two areas where these guys that we'll be talking to have a chance to make this roster, Danny. You know when you take Jamin Davis in the first round, he's going to play a big role. You know in the second round when you come back and you get Sam Cosmi, he's going to have a chance to play at left tackle. Third round, you went again with some needs. You went with a corner, St. Juste will get on the field. A wide receiver, De'Ami Brown, who might start on the outside by the end of the year if you can kick Curtis Samuel into the slot. But later in the draft, you're kind of looking for steals and some gems you can unearth. And if you're Forrest at safety, where they're thin, or you are Bradley King at defensive end, where they only really have two guys, you got to feel pretty good about ending up in Washington.
Yeah, I mean, special teams can be your window to stick, and then you start to crack the lineup. I mean, look no further. Obviously, they end up playing the same position or similar ones in Jeremy Reeves. Right, he was a guy that has stood out in the preseason, has played special teams, was active, has done everything that's been asked, and Ron Rivera is the kind of guy that rewards those sorts of things. There was a great piece in the Post about two biggest decisions Rivera made this past year. One, obviously, was with Haskins, but the other, to win a lot of credibility with the guys on the roster, was Jeremy Reeves. He made promises to Reeves. Hey, we'll keep you around. If you do everything that's asked, you'll get a chance. They didn't go sign Eric Reed when Landon Collins went down. They promoted Jeremy Reeves, and he got a chance and played pretty well. That's your path. You can stick if you do what's asked of you.
All right, let's go to the BetQL guest hotline right now. Welcome on one of the newest members of the Washington football team, who they did just draft. We mentioned Derek Forrest would be with us, and he is joining us now. The 5th-round pick, 163 overall out of Cincinnati. Derek, it's Grant and Danny. Really appreciate the time. How are you?
I'm great. How are you guys?
Good, buddy.
Doing very well, man. Let's just start with what this draft process was like for you. Where were you watching, and just kind of take us through the experience?
Gotcha. So me and my family were at a bar
you know, downtown Columbus, Ohio. We all watching there, and it was a great experience just having so much love and family around me. When I got that call, I was so excited, man. It was so much emotion going through the air, man. It was a moment like no other.
Where had you been hearing? Like, where'd you think you were going to go? What had been people been telling you and stuff? And then what was the feeling like when you ultimately had your name called?
Gotcha. So a lot of teams kept saying 4-6 and, you know, 4-6, 4-6. And we hit right at 5. So they told me the exact moments where I was going to go, but, it was just a waiting game. And, you know, it was so much emotion going through the air because there were a lot of safeties that went. And then right before me and then right after me. So I got caught like right in the middle.
Did you do that thing that I tell you I would have done this, Derek? You look at these other safeties and you go, I'm better than that guy. I'm better than that guy. Why is he going? Why is he going? Why aren't I going? Or you're not even letting yourself do that.
Gotcha. So I was trying not to let myself do that. You know, I was trying to just support everybody throughout this draft process, especially coming off the COVID year. And a lot of guys were going through a lot of different things. So I was just trying to stay positive just so I wouldn't let my emotions run high and I get irritated or I wouldn't be reciprocating as much love as I needed.
Derek Forrest, new safety, Washington football team. All right, for listeners who have never seen you play, let's just say they're not plugged in on the Cincinnati Bearcats. What do we get?
Gotcha. So you guys got a guy that's going to go out there and play with a high motor. You guys got a guy that's very smart, and I can anticipate plays. I can break down the offense. So I feel like you guys got a great steal in the draft, man. You got a guy that's going to go out there and do what's best for the team, and you guys got a guy that's going to put on plays each and every week that's going to make you excited.
What do you do well right now? What do you want to do better in the future?
Gotcha. So right now what I do well is I'm a great tackler. I'm a guy that succeeds in zone coverage, and I'm a guy that can play man coverage. So one thing I want to improve on is my man coverage. I want to go out there and be a guy that can be a lockdown guy, and you know, they don't have to put anybody behind me because, you know, I can get the job done.
Every time we ask you a question, you say gotcha. Is that a thing you do all the time?
So I was about to say gotcha there, but it's just me assuring that I got the question. So when I say gotcha, you know. It's just me confirming that we're on the same page.
So, like, if your parents told you, like, hey, go clean your room when you were, like, 12, were you saying gotcha then, or is that something you started later?
I feel like that's something I started later. I feel like I developed that in college, just, you know, being a leader on that team. I was just making sure that everyone knew that we were on the same page. So once we clicked and we knew exactly what was going on, I'll say gotcha. And, you know, I feel like things were all set.
So, Derek, you have like 50 abs, and that's you're in incredible shape. Obviously, you're an NFL football player. Do you think you're going to be able to do that thing where you tuck your jersey up and show your abs at this level?
Gotcha. So, I'm going to try until the refs tell me to pull it down or the coaches. But I feel like that's kind of like my swagger on the field.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like once I get out there, you know, I show my muscles a little bit. I get to running around. You know, I just feel like it's something that it shows my character and it shows that I'm a guy that's different.
Well, I like it. I dig it. Do you want to meet one of your new teammates who's also in this draft class?
Gotcha. Absolutely.
All right, let's do that.
I would say.
Well, we got one on the line right now. We got William Bradley King is joining us, so I'm going to pull him up on Grant and Danny as well. So, William, are you there? What's going on, man? How are you?
Yeah. What's going on? I'm good. How you doing?
Doing well. So we're talking to your boy Derek Forrest here, who went in the 5th round in this draft class. You end up obviously ending up in the 7th round with the Washington football team as well. So,
yes, sir.
William, why don't you say hi to Derek? Man. Derek, say hi to William. You guys
What's
have been making
on,
tackles
man?
On this defense.
Yo,
what
up with you, man? Yeah, we hand to hand. My guy, let's go to work.
I like
it. For sure, man. We'll be there very soon.
Yeah, I'll see you next week. We're gonna make it act right.
No, for sure.
Do you guys know each other at all? Did you know about each other in the process? Like, have you seen film of each other? Have you looked up the draft class? William, you can start, and you guys can both hop in on that.
Yeah, I've seen them, of course, you know, I've seen all the guys that's coming in with me. So, you know, I'm excited to meet all my brothers.
No, for sure. But, I actually didn't know about him before
But now that, hey, we're going to be locked in for sure for now on.
What's that like? And I'll start with you, Derek, and then William, you jump in as well. You guys have gone through this process, but also you were freshmen not that long ago, right? Where you hop on campus, you get to know everybody, figure out where the dining hall is, where your dorm is, where all the classes are, and the rhythm of a school. And then all of a sudden, boom, everything's completely different. Now you got to go to a city and be part of a new organization. What's that like? Where you're wearing name tags day one, figuring out who all the important people are.
Where you gonna go first on this?
Yeah, go ahead, Derek. Go ahead first.
Oh, I got you. So I feel like it's gonna be something that's different, but going through college, it teaches you how to learn to face adversity. So I feel like that's not gonna be a thing that's a problem for us, especially coming in. You know, you got a rookie class, you're probably gonna be close to those guys, and they're gonna accept you like family. So I feel like it's not gonna be a problem.
Yeah. Just to piggyback on that, you know, I love everything about football. So, you know, just the camaraderie, you know, just seeing, you know, new places, you know, I've never been to Washington. So, you know, I'm really just excited, you know, just embrace it all.
Couple of guys who measured really well in the speed categories and the measurables off the charts at their pro days. William Bradley King's hopping in the conversation here from Baylor, 7th round pick, who's going to have a great chance, not only to make the roster, but to play. I mean, Washington needs depth at defensive end, 6'4", 248 pounds. And you've heard us talking to Derek Forrest as well, 6' and 200 out of Cincinnati. All right, I want to know, you guys both get one meal. Let's say you just won a game yesterday, and you're celebrating, and you have the week off. It's a bye week, and you get to eat anything you want. So, WBK, I'm going to start with you. What is your one, like, huge spoil-yourself meal? And then Derek can tell us.
It'll probably have to be beef enchiladas.
Not bad.
That's outstanding.
I'll give that a 70 on the 2080 scouting.
That's
scale.
Outstanding.
All right, what are you going with, Derek?
Gotcha. So my Sunday's meal, man. So when I was in high school, every Sunday, my stepmom used to make me steak and shrimp. So I had to go with a steak and shrimp meal, some mashed potatoes, like mac and cheese, do a big.
Either one of you guys video gamers? William first, Derek, you second.
Yeah, I play the game, you know. It keep me occupied. So, you know, I play a little Apex, Fortnite, Call of Duty.
These are young people. Derek, what about you?
I'm the same. I'm on Xbox, man. I used to play Fortnite more, but I'm more right now between 2K, Apex, and Call of Duty.
So is that what's hot right now is Apex Legends? You guys just getting online and yelling at each other and blasting each other into oblivion? Is that pretty much what it is?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, a little bit of both.
Derek, what do you want to say to the Washington football team fans before we let you go?
Gotcha. I just want to tell you guys that we're about to take a good journey right here. And, you know, hey, buckle up, strap down, and get ready for some exciting things.
All right, we appreciate you, man. We're going to talk to WBK here for a second. We appreciate you hopping on with us.
Gotcha. No problem.
Nice to see you, bro.
All right.
Oh, for sure. What's happening with you?
All right, so we'll let him hop. And then, William, before we let you go, we got to talk ball with you for a second. We got a good breakdown from Derek on his game, so I want to know from you. Tell us about yourself. I've looked up the numbers. I see that you had the 8.5-sack season at Arkansas State. You transferred to Baylor. You played 9 games. Tell Washington football team fans about yourself.
Yes, sir. You know, I call myself the technician. You know, I take pride in my technique, my football IQ. I feel like, you know, I have a great first step. You know, I use my hands very well. And, you know, I play with relentless effort.
What do you want to work on? What's kind of your next step in your development?
You know, I want to be a premier, you know, pass rusher. You know, I want to be a complete defensive end. And, you know, I just want to be a chess piece to the D-line. You know, I'm coming out with some great guys, and, you know, I'm ready to just, you know, soak up whatever knowledge, you know, those guys are willing to give me.
Do you view yourself as kind of a hand in the dirt, like down defensive end in a 43 traditionally?
Yes,
I'm looking
sir.
At your frame. Like, what do you think as a comp? Who's a guy you watch in the league who you think maybe has a similar size or style of game as you do?
You know, Chase Young, you know, of course, Jason Pierre-Paul, Justin Houston, you know, I watch guys like that. And, yeah, you know, I was raised out of a 43 defense. So, you know, I just felt like this was perfect for me.
Who was your favorite player growing up?
Justin Houston.
Just the guy that got a lot of sacks. Yeah. I like that. What'd you like about his game?
Man, I just felt like he was real detailed, and you know, his game was just sharp to me. And you know, I'm from Kansas City, Missouri, so you know that's who I grew up watching. And I wore number 50 in high school because of him. So,
what were you like in high school? I always wonder about that. Like, dude,
bet you're pretty
drafted.
Good.
Did you only play? Were you just a pass rusher in high school?
Yes, sir. I played tight end. I played. I played linebacker, defensive end, D tackle. Like, oh, they try to put me everywhere on the defense.
Weird. Just find the weakest link on the offense and get after them. You
know, I was a track guy too. You know, I threw discus. I threw 189 in discus, and one state a couple times. And
real shame.
Yeah, just a couple of state titles. All these other dudes are like working all year long. He just comes off the football field and throws.
I did not win state a couple times, William. That's pretty impressive, dude. Yeah. Good for you.
Yes, sir.
I love it. Well, we're pumped that you're in Washington now, and we're looking forward to you working hard in camp and trying to crack this roster. There's a spot for you at DN. They need some help. Need some depth.
I can't wait. Washington, you know, they're getting the exactly who they think they are. They are getting, you know, a person that's going to come in and earn everything that I've gotten so far.
Appreciate you, buddy. Congrats and welcome, man. Thanks for hopping on with us.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Pretty cool to introduce those two guys to each other. We're going to be hopefully making tackles side by side on the Washington football team for years to come. Thanks to Derek Forrest, William Bradley King, a couple of guys drafted in the 5th and 7th round by Washington in the last week. Next, John Carlson of the Capitals on their game with the Rangers tonight. Could get messy. We'll see what Carly thinks on Grant and Danny. Grant and Danny on the Fan, our weekly appointment with John Carlson, provided by BetQL. He's on the BetQL guest hotline right now. John, huge game with the Rangers tonight. A lot being made about this game, very little about hockey. I mean, are you guys preparing any different for whatever might come with them maybe trying to ramp up the physicality tonight?
No, I mean, I think you got to be prepared no matter what, physically and mentally before any game, and certainly there's a lot of noise, internal and external, around the league, you know, between us and this team, obviously. And so you're just trying to kind of sort through that. But at the end of the day, you know, anytime you step on the ice, you got to be aware of your surroundings. And we're here to win a hockey game. This is a big game, a pivotal point in the season for us. And that's what we're focused on.
John, what frustrates rubes like me, fans, I think, and a lot of folks, are inconsistent application of rules. That's throughout anything in life. That's throughout anything that has to do with sports. I always wonder why the outrage is greater for some guys and not for others. You can find nightly examples of behavior that, you know, would prompt New York columnists to clutch their pearls and write all sorts of contemptible things about different people, but they kind of are very selective about that. What do you make of that, just in terms of what goes on in your sport, which is a little bit rougher than some of the others, kind of pretty much every night, and why do some people get pissed off about one thing and not another?
Yeah, I think that you can kind of answer that a lot of different ways. I would say that obviously he's a hot button issue around the league for just how powerful he is. And listen, he's made mistakes in his career to, you know, sort of garner some of that, you know, criticism. But at the end of the day, this guy's, you know, getting jumped on. And I think at that point, it's almost just defense what he's trying to do. And that's, you know, I don't want to say it's part of the game because no one likes to see people get thrown around, but don't poke the bear then.
Yeah, that's my frustration here, John, is if people wanted to make this solely about the little shot in the crease, I would make the case that that happens in scrums when a guy's kicking at a goalie a lot. But I didn't love that, frankly. That was not my favorite thing that happened during that game. Having said that, this has become about the Panarin thing. Like, because he's not going to play, by the way, he was already hurt. They have 3 games left. That somehow Tom Wilson should never play again. He jumped on his back. What is he supposed to do? Like, sit him down and say, hey, little guy, don't jump on my back. What is he supposed to do?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of you know, optics plays, and you know, we've been through this thing a number of times as well, and have seen you know, the PR stances and you know, coaches coming out and saying something, player, whatever. It happens. You know, our team has done it in the past too when we think someone you know, wronged us. That's just the way it goes. I just really don't think that the life cycle of this thing is makes for any good drama for anyone. So that's where we're at. We're just reacting on a, you know, day to day, minute to minute basis. And like I said, there's a lot of noise, but at the end of the day, we're just prepared to play hockey. We need these points and to go home on a high note.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, just trying to win a division here. John Carlson on Grant and Danny. Did you see the statement the Rangers issued?
Yes, I did.
So one thing that hasn't happened is teams doing whatever that was. What did you think of that statement?
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens. I mean, I think you hear coaches and players say stuff and get fined. That was obviously a, you know, one of a kind, never before seen kind of move by them. And I really don't have anything else to add other than I was kind of shocked when I saw it.
John, one of the themes this year, I think it's for everybody, but really you guys, is, you know, dealing with kind of the uncommon, right? We're in one of the most unique times, pandemic-wise, and some of the rules and regs and everything else. And I've been thoroughly impressed to continue to be so, how you guys have operated undermanned at times. How is that? I mean, is that a cultural thing? Is that just a coach thing? Is that just an organizational thing? Whatever, you guys have been missing a bunch of people, like the other night, ho-hum, you go out and play a really good hockey game. It's really impressive, man. How are you guys able to do that?
Yeah, I think that comes from a number of different things. I think, you know, we have a good team. We have a deep team, guys that are versatile, that can do a lot of different things, can jump in and fill in different roles, whether that's, you know, special teams or moving up and down the lineup or, you know, playing against top lines that, you know, on a normal, fully healthy night, maybe they don't. You know, depth is a huge thing in this league, and I think we – you know, have proven that we have really good depth. I think it also comes from just the mindset. I think for us, you know, we go out there and expect to win every game, and that's, you know, kind of becomes a mindset in the locker room. And no matter what we're faced with, whether it's a, you know, a deficit in a game or whether we're undermanned or, you know, our top dogs are out, whatever it is, you know, we still go into that game with the same confidence, the same enthusiasm to go out there and win that game. So it's a number of things, but it's definitely it's a good testament to our team and our capabilities, I think.
John, are you surprised by what Daniel Sprong has done? He's basically replaced Ovi's offense. I know it's not sustainable, but 5 goals, 5 games, it's been pretty cool to watch.
Yeah, it's been great to watch, and especially, you know, I guess it works out good. He brings a lot to the table. You know, similar attributes that Ovi does as well. So maybe it's a little more seamless for him trying to play an Ovi spot on the power play or, you know, play on the top line left wing. Maybe it's a little bit easier on everyone else and himself to jump in there. But, yeah, we need to score goals to win games, and he has done an amazing job with the big man out.
Kind of state of the union here, John, as you guys wind down the regular season, head into the playoffs. That's official now, by the way. Congrats. You guys are in. You've known that. What parts of your game, the team's game, are you really thrilled with? And what do you say, hey, we'd like to tweak this before we get into the big one?
Yeah, I think, you know, it's kind of been a carbon copy. When we play good, you know, our greatest strengths are moving the puck through the neutral zone and not trying to kind of do too much through that zone to get it into the offensive zone. And I think we got a relentless forecheck and a lot of great players that can make stuff happen. So the more we put ourselves into their zone safely and give ourselves chances in that zone, it seemed to lead to, you know, extended zone time. It lead to, you know, high chances and all that sort of thing. So for us, get it out of our zone and through the neutral zone safely. And I think the rest is gravy. But you know, when we do that well, we're a tough team to beat.
I'm picturing a scene out of a movie as you guys like get ready for tonight's game. John Carlson's like in his hotel room packing up his pads and everything. Then he looks over at the like the counter and there's some brass knuckles there and he like thinks about it and he throws them in his bag and he walks out the door. Could be a fun night. Enjoy yourselves. Go get a win. Get 2 points.
All right. Thanks, guys.
And before I let you go, John, I have to apologize to you. Last week, I did the awkward thing of recommending a show that you watch. Like, what were you supposed to say? You know what I mean? Were you like, yeah, totally, I'll watch that. So I'm sorry I put you in that spot, and I apologize. I'll never do it again, buddy.
No, please. I'm always asking people for show recommendations, and hey, if I don't like it, then I don't like it, and that's, you know, I just move on with my life. I won't hold it against you.
That feels very good. Thank you.
He's just a nice guy.
Just a nice dude,
that's
man.
All he's doing. He's just appeasing you. John, thank you, brother.
All right, guys.
Thanks, appreciate dude.
It. One of the best defensemen in hockey, John Carlson, on Grant and Danny every Wednesday. 5 and 5 is next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.